Amen. It's interesting, but for the past 2-3 days, the Lord's been letting me know that I'll be preaching tonight, but he didn't call me till today and told me. So I really didn't do a whole lot of prepping because I figured, well, he never said nothing, Lord. I said, what are you doing? So I had to leave work early, an hour early today, to get home to frantically try to prep something. I had an idea, but I just hadn't put it down yet, so amen. This is brand spanking new message, so praise the Lord. I hope it be a blessing to you. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start off there, Luke chapter 2. And as you're turning, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, more than anything tonight, Lord, I just pray you'd be here in our midst. And I pray you'd come down, Lord, and just help me to be removed, Lord, and just fill me from the top of my head, the soles of my feet. Lord, help me to get out of the way and just help you to say what you need to have said through me to your people tonight, to me tonight from your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year. Thank you for this opportunity and scriptures that we're going to look at. And help us, Lord, just be encouraged and strengthened from you tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just help the message get across, Lord, into our hearts, and may produce good ground and just produce fruit to honor and glorify you, Lord. And may it not just be something we came and heard, but, Lord, have something we listen to. Yeah. And Holy Spirit, just please, I beg and beseech you, please do your work tonight. We need it so very much. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse number 7. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. It says, might be a good idea if I turn there too. There we go, Luke 2, verse 7. And it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And this is not a Christmas message per se, but it's we're going to look at three different things that are empty. Three different things that are empty, why they're empty, and what to do next. First thing we're going to see here is we have the Christmas story. We see here the manger. Well, if we look at the manger right now, today, the manger is empty. Yeah. It did its job. It was provided. It was used of the Lord. He abided therein. But right now, the manger is empty. And we look at verse number 12. In the same chapter, we'll go to Luke down to verse number 12. It says, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The manger is was used to God, but here right now, as we look at it today, the manger is empty. Why is that? Well, because something else had to happen. Go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And this is the only place in Scripture where Calvary is found. Luke 23, verse 33. It says there in Luke 23, verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The cross was used of the Lord. He abided there for a time. But today the cross is empty. And we see that here in this verse here. The cross is very pivotal. It's extremely important, but it's empty right now. And you go to the why is the cross empty? Because he had something else he had to go do. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm jumping around real quick here because I want to just get all three of them done so we can get into the meat of the message here. John chapter 20, verse 12. John 20, 12, it says there, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head, one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. The tomb is empty. So we see the manger, we see the cross, we see the tomb. They were all utilized by the Lord. He abided in all three of these situations. He had to go. He had to do that. He had to be there in these places. But right now they're all empty, and the manger is empty because he had to go to the cross. The cross is empty because he had to go to the tomb. And the tomb is empty because he had to go in our hearts.
Amen.
He had to he had something he had to do. Each one of these events had to happen. Without the manger, there would have been no cross. Without the cross, there would have been no tomb. And without the summation of all three of those, we would have no salvation today. They had to happen. It's not just something, a nice little thing to remember because it's Christmas time. The manger had to happen. He had to be born. He had to be born of a virgin. The pastor gave a message about that earlier. It had to happen. It's not just a nice thing that it did happen. It's not just a great idea to focus Christmas around, but it had to happen.
You're right.
There is no and ifs or buts or maybes about it. It had to happen. That manger had to be there. The cross, it had to happen. Yes. Without the cross, our salvation would have not been possible. The manger, if he would have been born, that's exactly what happened. But if he didn't go to, if he didn't go from the manger, grow up and to become a man, and go to the cross and die and shed his blood, our salvation would not have been. The cross had to happen,
right.
And he didn't die of a strangulation. He didn't die of poisoning. He didn't die of the soldiers beating him to death. He died on the cross.
Yes.
He voluntarily laid down his life. He wasn't murdered. He laid down his life voluntarily as a willing sacrifice to pay for our sins. It had to be done. That cross had to be done. But the manger is empty now. The cross is empty now. Christians, we don't worship a crucifix.
Right.
That's dead religion. That worship a dead Jesus on a cross, the crucifix. That's not Bible. Jesus is not on the cross. He's alive. Amen.
Right.
He's alive. He had to go to the manger because he had to go to the cross, and then he had to go to that tomb. He had to go to that tomb, that borrowed tomb. And without that tomb, without the physically dying and being dead and his body going to the grave, like it had to happen. All there's so much scripture, there's so much prophecies that come into place and come into play with the reality of these three things. They had to happen the way they did. Each event had to happen exactly the way they did. Each event had to happen exactly when they happened. He had to be in that manger that exact night. He had to be born in that manger that exact night. It couldn't have been a different year. It couldn't have been 10 years. It couldn't have been a different month. It had to be that exact night. And there's, I mean, the wise men, they saw that star far away. They saw that star, and it took them several years to get to where the child was in the house. As you see the scripture, when the wise men show up, the young child is in the house. They weren't there at the manger, but they did see the star that night, and they made a traveling journey a long ways to get to where that baby was. And it had to happen exactly, and happen exactly when it did happen, too. Timing for what Jesus Christ did was everything. It had to fulfill the scripture specifically. It had to follow God's will distinctly and deliberately. And he had to be done to God's perfect will, completely perfect will. It was nothing was just left to happen. I mean, it wasn't just like, well, let's go ahead and, just be born this day. Let's go ahead and just go to the cross this day. Everything had to be timed out perfectly according to the Word of God. Like I said, the many prophecies we can go to and different things, but we don't have time to do that tonight. But everything had to be timed out perfectly. The manger was there. He went to it at a specific time. The cross, the tomb, 3 days later, he was out of the tomb. Everything had to be timed out perfectly.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what I'm trying to get across to you, and I just pray that this miserable attempt that I'm trying to make tonight, it would convey the truth to you, that nothing was just let to go.
You're right.
Everything was orchestrated to the minutest detail.
That's exactly right.
That manger was kept empty and open and available at that particular inn on that particular night because Jesus was going to be there. It wasn't full of feed. It wasn't full of anything else. It was empty and available and ready to go. there's a message there, but we won't have time for that one. But anyway, the manger, everything, I mean, God orchestrated everything perfectly and distinctly, and it's His will that is paramount. Each event had to happen. Each had to happen exactly when they did happen, and they had to happen precisely how they happened. He had to be born of a virgin. The woman had to compass a man. Joseph was not his father. He had to be born exactly that way. That cross, he had to be on that cross between the two thieves on Golgotha's hill with the nails through his hand, the spear going through his side, the crown of thorns on his head. All of that, the beating that he took from the soldiers, the blood that was streaming down, beaten to such a point where you couldn't recognize he was a man. He just looked like a hunk of meat up there covered in blood. And all of that had to happen exactly the way God laid it out.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Precisely. I mean, he could not have died in an accident or tripping, breaking his neck or falling off a horse or getting beaten up by the soldiers. He had to go to the cross and voluntarily, after all that pain, going through all that pain, experience all the nerve endings just being ripped and frazzled and beaten and just exposed and going through all the torment, he willingly laid down his life on Calvary. He was not murdered. He willingly laid it down as a sacrifice. And then he had to go to that borrowed tomb. He had to go to that borrowed tomb, the one that was prophesied and that was spoken of, and the one that God had laid out specifically according to His will. All of it had to be done. Why? Because that's what God wanted it. God had a definite plan for how Jesus would come. A definite, deliberate plan. And it was executed perfectly. Thank God. Thank God it was executed perfectly according to what God had wanted. Now we're grateful. We're grateful. Why? Because salvation was made possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God He was in the manger. Thank God He went to the cross. Thank God He went to the tomb. And thank God He's in my heart right now. Hallelujah. I'm glad it all happened. But we look at it as because salvation would be made possible. That's why we see it happening. That's why the manger was there. That's why the cross was there. That's why the tomb was there. Because to us, it made salvation possible. That's why we see it.
Yes.
But how was all this made possible? It was made possible by the Holy Spirit of God and God Himself.
Yes.
Fulfilling Scripture. That's how it happened. It was laid out thousands of years before it happened where he would be born, the town of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
It was laid out that he would be the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15.
Yep.
That he would be a woman who can pass a man. It was laid out, this is how it happened right here.
Yes, sir.
This book.
Right.
It's not. We're not just depending on memories passed on from generation to generation. We're not just depending on hymns or psalms that are passed down from generation to church to generation. It's the Word of God in specific detail, giving us the date, the time, the place, the season, everything involved, the instruments of His brutality that He was going to be crucified with, the swords, the nails, the thorns, and the spear, all that stuff in minute detail. It's right here. This is how it happened.
Yes, sir.
We see it. We see it. Say, yes, I thank God for the manger. Praise the Lord. Jesus came to be born of a virgin to die for my sins. We look at what we get out of it. But how did all that happen? Right here.
Amen.
This is how it happened. Amen. You would have no salvation if it wasn't for this right here, this book. You wouldn't. If God did not give us a copy of His book the way He did, and this book, I believe, the Bible says, thy word is settled forever in heaven. And He holds His word above His name. This book is important.
Yeah.
This book is so, so very important. It'll blow your mind how important this book is. It ain't just something to tote around to church. It ain't just something you got to read every day to do devotions. This is God's Word. It's the Holy Scriptures revealed from heaven, brought forth to us, dying, sinful creatures that we are, that we can look into and see the realities and truths of Scripture and be energized and realize all that has yet to be bestowed to us. That's how it all happened, fulfilling Scripture and obeying God. Look what it says in John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8. It's an interesting thing that Jesus says here. John chapter 8, verse 29. John chapter 8, verse number 29. And it says, let's go to verse number 27. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he hath sent me with, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus was always doing what God's will was exactly for his life. Always. He never had free time. He never had time to just kind of wing it. He never had time to just say, well, figure it out. It'll work out. He was always, every minute detail. I mean, when they went to Bethlehem, that was according to the Word of God. When they went down to Egypt, that was according to the Word of God. When they went back to Nazareth, that was according to the Word of God. When he went to the fishermen to pick him out, that was according to the Word of God. When he went to the cross, it was according to the Word of God. When he went to the borrowed tomb, that was according to the Word of God. When he was born, his mom was a seed from David all the way down to him. His stepdad, Joseph, was even in lineage from David down to him. But God was his heavenly Father. Why? It was all according to the Word of God. If nothing was just left to work it out, to kind of just see how it's going to go and just kind of just let things go and see, just shoot in the dark or whatever, everything was laid out specifically, amen, fulfilling Scripture and obeying God. And Jesus says, for I do always those things that please him. I'm always going to please and obey my Heavenly Father. Yeah. Now that's Jesus Christ telling us that and confessing that to his disciples here and letting us know that's what he was doing all the time.
Yes, sir.
When he went to John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, that's because God told him to. When he went to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, I believe it is, because God told him to. No matter what he did or who he was going to see, it was because God told him to. He's following God's will. Amen. Yes. Nothing was just left open to chance. Jesus was at each place in the manger, the cross and tomb, for a little while to fulfill Scripture and to obey his Father. He was in that manger to fulfill Scripture and obey his Father. He went to the cross to fulfill Scripture and obey his Father. He went to the tomb to fulfill Scripture and obey his Father. Now we look at it as what we get, salvation. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're limited, we're so finite, we're so small, that's all we can really get, basically. But thank God it's there, salvation, hallelujah. Amen. But how we get that, and how all this stuff happened, was because this book right here.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the heavy part of the message. As a child of God, you and I, we have him. He's not in the manger.
Amen.
He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. We have him in our hearts for eternity. Now, why is that? The same reason he went to the manger. The same reason he went to the cross. The same reason he went to a borrowed tomb.
Thank the Lord.
He's in our hearts. Now, I need to get this now.
Hey.
This is what really just, it gives me goosebumps. He's in our hearts not to help us, not to be our friend. But he's in our hearts to fulfill Scripture and to obey his Heavenly Father. That's why we have a residing Savior inside of our hearts and lives right now. It's not for us. It's for him to fulfill Scripture. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, there's only four Gospels in the New Testament. We're just going to talk about the New Testament. There's four Gospels in the New Testament. That covers the Lord dying and going to the cross and borrowed tomb, all that. There's 23 other books that we have got to be in and fulfilling on a daily basis. Galatians, Corinthians, Hebrews, the book of Acts, Romans. I mean, listen, they're in there. Why? Because we have got to be doing some living in our lives according to this book right here.
Yes.
Nothing is, listen, we're in Kentucky 2018, but it's not up for grabs. It's according to God's Word. If you're a single parent, if you're married and you're a wife and a husband, no matter what your situation is, it's not up for grabs. It's according to God's Word. You are God's child. And God is not just staying in your heart and life and staying for a little while like He did with the manger. He's not just there for a little while like He was on the cross. He's not just there for a borrowed time like He was in the tomb. He's in our hearts for eternity. And He's got a job He wants to do to fulfill Scripture and obey His Heavenly Father. And He wants to do it in my life and yours. And that's why He's there.
Amen.
That's what it's about. It's according to this book right here. And the more we get into this book, the more we see what we really need to see and less what's been clouding our minds. And we give God more of an opportunity to do what He's been wanting to do since the day we got saved. God is so busy working on us, cleaning out the spiritual garbage in our lives, that He really can't use us most of the time. Amen. And if you don't think that is a reality, you're mistaken. The devil has got so much, the world has got so much stuff out there bent specifically to stop us in our tracks spiritually. And the more that's out there electronically, the prince and power of the air, just let that sink in. The prince and power of the air. What goes through the air right now? Everything. TV, cell phones, Facebook, it's all going through the air. And who's the prince and power of that? Amen. There is all kinds of stuff keeping us from this book right here. God wants us to take this book and to live our life with this book. God wants us to go to the book of Acts. He wants us to go to Corinthians and Romans and live our life. Go to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 and crucify our flesh once again on the cross. He wants us to take this book every day, no matter what the decision is, and go to the Word of God and find out what God says for us to do, for me to do in my life. Right now, it's in the Word of God. Nothing is up for grabs. It's Christmas time. Praise the Lord and thank God it is. But listen, nothing is up for grabs. It's about this book. It's about Jesus Christ. And He's in our hearts forever. He's never going to leave. He's never going to depart. And He's got a job to do. He's not in there just to sit. He's got something He wants to do that He needs to do. Our unsaved family members need to get saved. How are they going to get saved? With Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If we're too busy, distracted with this world, and we're not following the Word of God and obeying God our Heavenly Father and fulfilling Scripture, they won't get saved. There's no other way to get them saved. Amen.
You're right.
Why is the manger empty? Why is the cross empty? Why is the tomb empty? Because He has to be in your heart. That's the point. That was the point. And now that He's in your heart, He's never going to leave. So He wants to take that truth to somebody else. Amen. Let them know that manger was there for a reason, but He's not in the manger anymore. Let them know He was on that cross for a reason, but He's not on that cross anymore. Let them know He was in that tomb for a while, but He's not in that tomb anymore. He wants to be in your heart.
Amen.
He wants to live in your life. He wants to use you and bring you along for the glory of God and change you. Amen. Now, as a child of God, we have Him in our heart for all eternity. Why? To fulfill Scripture and to obey His Heavenly Father. Now, how are we doing? How are we doing? We need help.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? He'll give it to us.
Yes, He will.
Let's bow our heads.